Hi, I'm Meryl. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks for asking me to speak. But I haven't told my story in relation to food in a really long time. And I was thinking about that yesterday and I was like, oh man, like what a journey it's been. And I just was praying before the meeting and just asking God to just show, just like help me convey how God has given me abstinence, how God works in my absence, because I don't do this. Like I was not granted abstinence, I mean, I did not give myself up. Like I was granted abstinence 100%. I guess I as a kid growing up, food was my first everything. It was my comfort, like starting from fourth grade, like it was my comfort. It was what I went to, it was my go-to. As I got older, it was overshadowed by other addictions I had picked up as a kid, as a teenager. But it was always there, like those late night binges. And it was the first, it was the only time that I could feel like I could turn it off. Like I say that before I started with the other substances. Like it, when I was in fifth grade, I remember always feeling like the outsider and always feeling like I didn't belong. But I would go home after school and I would binge and it would turn off. Like the noises would just turn off. And I remember my mom always yelling at me, like, I keep buying these things. They're like gone. Like a minute. Why don't you guys chill out? She would yell at me and my sister. And it was me. It wasn't really my sister. And maybe that was like a little bit of a sign that like it's not normal to eat a whole package of like whatever after school. But it was like my refuge at that time. My family was dealing with a lot of my older sister had a lot of issues growing up, and I kind of went under the radar for many, many years. And that was kind of my little compensation to myself, I don't want to say I was ignored. But I think as an adult, I kind of realized I was to an extent, and not because I don't blame my parents, not because my parents are bad and they were terrible. Like they were doing the best they could. Like, what do you do when your kid's crazy? Like, and your other kid, and your other kid's seemingly okay. Like you have to deal, they did with the best they could with what they had. The thing I have to remember about my parents and about my own, about me as a parent now, is that it's really the first time any of us are doing this. Same with parents. Like, they've never done this before. Like, they've never done it before. So, like, they fuck up. And so, my parents fucked up. Excuse my language. Is that a problem? It's a problem for me. So, sorry in advance. So yeah, I don't really blame my parents for me going under the radar, but I had to find some solace somewhere, and I found it in food. And as I got older, like I said, I kind of started experimenting with other substances, and those took the forefront. I am of a generation where things got really bad for my generation when it came to substances, and a lot of my friends. I come from like, middle class Jewish neighborhood, like nothing, like we came, I like it was like picture perfect on the outside, but like it, there was an epidemic in my area, and a lot of my friends died as I was getting older. And through all that, and through all the different substance abuse that I ended up partaking in, food was always there as my comfort, It's funny because, I was, I know this is an OA meeting, but this is my story, so it is what it is. I'd be addicted to these substances that everyone ended up getting really thin on, and I wasn't like super thin. And I'm like, what's this about? I didn't get it. Like, why wasn't I've been like my other friends who were, the same lifestyle I was. And it was because I was still in the food too, was in the food. And and as I thought about that, my thinness, that's a whole other part of my food and my eating disorder, is my obsession with my body. And like, as a compulsive overeater, I find it just such an anomaly, that I cope with my obsession with my body with food. I hate myself for being fat, and I comfort myself with that with a binge. And it's just this insane form of self-hatred and this cycle that I just perpetually beat myself with. And that's what I did. I did it for years. I had, and that was part of my substance. I mean, the substance abuse really started with, because of my eating disorder. It was the first time ever, I took something and it made me not want to eat. And that was kind of how it all began. I was like, oh, this is great. I finally don't want to eat. And it didn't last. The food always wins with me. The food will always win. Like, it doesn't matter what drugs I take. It doesn't matter what lifestyle I'm living, like the food will always win. And that ended up happening a lot. So fast forward to I was 22 years old when I got sober. I got sent to treatment and I was dying. I was dying. So I got sent to treatment and I went to AA and I got sober. And I worked steps, white light experience. Oh my God. Oh, like totally like had a spiritual experience when it related to my alcohol and drug addiction, totally. And that was, it was exactly what I needed at that time. And I got really into that 12-step program. And in where I got sober, which is where Blythe lives, and as I've been, there is a large food fellowship as well. Like, there's fellowships of all kinds where I got sober. Like, it's just a huge recovery community of every kind. And I happened to pick up sponsees in AA who were also in OA and other food fellowships. And they were in recovery from their eating disorder. And when I got sober, the food took its place back where, where I had started. It was like forefront. It was front and center. The body obsession was front and center. Excuse if you can hear my dog in the background. He's a loud guy. Sorry. It's my window. Yeah, the food, it had come front and center again. And I didn't really realize this. Like, when I tell you guys, like I knew that I didn't know I had a problem with food. Like, I didn't know. I thought that how I ate, I thought dieting was normal, being obsessed with your body is normal. That's what was happening with all the other, people I hung out with. Like, everyone was obsessed with their bodies, right? Everyone's obsessed with food, right? Like, look at all the magazines. It's telling me it. Like, this is, look at all the magazines talking about diets, talking about this. Like, of course I'm obsessed. Duh. Like, everybody is. I didn't think there was really anything wrong or abnormal with me with this, obsession. I remember going one weekend and doing something, and I had eaten so much that I had not fit into certain clothes by the end of the weekend. And I had a sponsee who was also in OA, and she said to me, "Is this something that typically happens? Like, you go for a weekend and like you don't fit into your clothes anymore?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like, of course." And she had very gently suggested that maybe I should attend these meetings with her. Maybe I could find something I could relate to. And I was deeply offended. I was like, no, that's crazy. I don't have a problem. I had been obsessively dieting, and obsessively compulsive overeating and obsessive all these things for so long, and I had yo-yoed so much that my weight, I guess, was in a relatively normal space, and I was like so offended, but I let that soak in for a minute, and I was like, okay, I'll go. And I went to these meetings, and I couldn't believe how much I related to what everyone was saying. I could not believe it. I remember reading the literature and being like, oh my God, I think this might apply to me even more than, the big book as it relates to alcoholism. Like, oh my, like it was this wave came crashing down. I was like, no. I was like, oh my God, this is, but it was comforting for the first time to know that this wasn't normal. This struggle doesn't have to be a struggle. Like, I don't, this isn't something I'm just born with and have to deal with my whole life. Like, it was like, oh my God, there's a solution. Oh my God, there's a chance. I don't have to live in this torture chamber forever. And it was so eye-opening. And I want to tell you guys, I went in to the food fellowships, and I got abstinent, and it was happily ever after, and it was so great. And that's not what happened at all. Like, I came in and I had a full year of getting abstinent, relapsing, getting abstinent, relapsing, getting abstinent, relapsing. And I mean, it was really, really hard. I had a really difficult time. And at the time, I had an infant. I had my son at the time. And I think the last time that it really, like, I think I bottomed out when he was on the floor playing with his toys, and I had recently binged, and I was laying on the couch, and I couldn't get up. Like, I couldn't play with him. And it wasn't even just like the physical, it was the emotional, it was the spiritual death that had occurred. And I looked at him, and I just was like sobbing, and I was like, I can't do anything. Like, I was so stuck in despair about the situation that I was in, and I felt like, and it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't even just the food. And it was like, it was about my body, it was about the food, it was about all of it, and it put me in this mass black hole of despair. And I remember thinking, like, I can't do this anymore. And that's when I think I got abstinent not too long after that. And I worked steps, and Blythe, I asked Blythe to sponsor me, and we worked steps, and I stayed abstinent. I stayed abstinent for, I want to say, 6 years. I mean, I was involved in the fellowship. I went to meetings. I worked steps. I did everything that I could. I wanted to stay abstinent. The problem is that while the obsession with the food was lifted through working steps, I did not address my body issues. I did not address my obsession with my body. I did not want to look at that, because if I did, then there was such fear for me, such fear of being overweight, that I could not let that obsession go. Because if I let that go, then maybe I'll be overweight and not care, and God forbid, so there was relief in those 6 years with the food, but it wasn't completely gone, and I don't think I realized it. I think I felt so much better that I like told myself that I was all better, but the fact is, like, to a degree, to, I think to a large degree, more than I was ever willing to admit at the time, my food plan was a diet still. My food plan was still a diet. And I stayed on it more for fear of getting fat than for freedom. It wasn't freedom yet. I thought it was, and it felt like it compared to what I had come from, to the black abyss of food obsession and compulsion and all that. Like, it felt so much better, but like I wasn't there. I wasn't there. And then finally the day came where I stopped going to so many meetings, and I got it in my head that like I think that maybe I can eat certain foods again, that maybe it's like a mind over matter thing. Maybe I can probably handle it, and I tried it. It worked for a minute. I don't, it didn't really work, but I really, that saying, like, if we can control and enjoy our eating, and so if we can control it, we're not enjoying it. And if we can't control it, then we're finally enjoying it. And I was controlling it, and I was like, ugh, I can do it. Like it was like with white knuckles, like, see, everyone, see, I can do it. And that lasted for like 6 months. Then finally I was like, ah, let me enjoy myself here. Like, if I'm eating it, let me do what I want to do. And so for the next, I don't know timelines, you guys. Like, it's all so hazy. I keep on having to look when my abstinent date was from this time around, because it was all such a haze. I want to say for the next 2 years, please. Maybe you could concur. I don't know. Like, for the next 2 years or so, I ate, and I went deep, deep into this terrible place. This, I ended up moving. I had lived in Florida, and then I moved to Virginia in those 2 years. And when I moved to Virginia, it got really bad. I mean, not just the food, everything got bad. And I almost drank, and I almost, like all the things were at peak, and I wasn't attending meetings of any sort, and I was just in a really huge black pit again. And I do this thing when I get into these places of terribleness, and I kind of make these deals with myself, like, okay, all right, why don't you, Meryl, let's make a deal. Let's go to meetings and do all the things, pray, meditate, do your inventory, talk to people,
Two
do
minutes.
all the things. Thank you. 2 minutes? Oh, wow. Okay. For like do all the things for like 2 weeks and see how you feel. And I make these deals, and somehow I seem to follow through with them. And I make it a week, and by the end of 2 weeks, I feel like someone completely different. And it was in that time that I knew, like, I had to get abstinent again. I knew I couldn't do this anymore. And the food, I mean, I would be literally going in my pantry sobbing and getting food out, sobbing and eating, sobbing and like just hating myself. And oh God, it sucks that I only have 2 minutes left, because this is like, this was the moment. Like I said, I don't even know what day I really got abstinent. I have to look at pictures, because I know a friend was visiting, because I wasn't expecting. I had been trying, at that point. I made the decision to try to get abstinent again. It took me, I don't know, anywhere between 6 months and 8 months to actually get abstinent again. And I was so desperate. And I told God, I was like, I don't care about my body anymore. I don't care about anything. Like, I cannot do this anymore. And I was gifted, like, an abs I one day I just woke up, and I didn't want to do it. Like, it wasn't a thought. Like, I woke up and I just said, I'm gonna start my day on my food plan. And I finished my day on my food plan. And then I woke up the next day, and I prayed, and I did my stuff, and I started on the food plan, and then I finished my day on the food. And it was like, I had been granted a reprieve. I had been granted neutrality for like the like true neutrality for the first time in my, in my life in these 12-step fellowships. And I took that moment, and I worked my steps, and I feel like I truly surrendered for the first time, and not just my food, not just my you gotta, is it done?
Time.
Okay. Yeah. So not, well, not just my, not, it was my body too. It was the body stuff. And I'll just wrap it up and say, like, not every day is perfect. It's been, I'll have three, no, two, okay, 2019. So all 4 years, this upcoming December. And I don't know. I can't tell you guys like the true peace that I've gotten this time around compared to the last time by truly surrendering all facets of my eating disorder, not just the food, because the food and the weight go hand in hand for me. And yeah, not every day is easy, but here I am. So that's it.